the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy, Doomsday 519. And this is episode 214 of this thing of ours. Of course, my tag team partner in crime, my Robin to the Batman. I'm joking. But yeah, the man hailing from the West Side Goth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of interesting stuff happened.
Yeah, it's true. Lots of news, lots of developments, lots of craziness. Some sad shit happened too.
Yeah. But first, we're gonna talk about some New Japan stuff. I believe the Best of the Super Juniors went down and concluded. So, West Side Goth will be directing traffic on this affair.
Yeah. Alright, I'm only going to talk about the last two shows. The first one was Saturday, that finished all the block matches for Block A and Block B. I actually bothered to watch it when it came on, which means 2:30 my time. Yeah. Then I slept for a couple more hours, woke up, and went to go see Solo. So, yeah, that was that day. Alright.
What did you think about Solo?
You know what? I'll honestly say I'd put it in my top three Star Wars movies.
I actually really enjoyed it. A lot of the fucking nerds are being bitches about it. I don't know.
Well, the Star Wars fandom has continued to expose themselves as complete trash that nobody in the actual Star Wars universe would hang out with, except for the Empire.
Yeah.
So, fuck
really,
them.
Really pathetic.
Yep. Alright, so we opened up the show with a Block A match. ACH, who was at 2 wins and 4 points, versus Tiger Mask, who was at 3 wins and 6 points. It's a fun little match. ACH came out in the Tiger Mask. And he picked up the victory to get 3 wins for 6 points. Nice little handshake thing. So, yeah. Then we had the next match, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, who was one half of the junior tag team champions, who was at 2 wins, 4 points, taking on Bushi, who won his last 3 matches. And they had a nice, fun match with a pretty good Indina segment, and Kanemaru won. This is basically a whole show. Everybody, a lot of people equaled a certain amount of point baseline. So Kanemaru came out with 6 points. And then we had we switched to B Block, where they were doing all the loser parts of A Block and B Block first, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But B Block kicked in with Ryusuke Taguchi, who was at only 2 wins, taking on Chris Sabin, who was at 3 wins. I didn't know because I hadn't watched a lot of New Japan for a period of time. Until the stream starts. But apparently, Taguchi and Sabin, they knew each other pretty well because there used to be the Apollo 55 versus Motor City Machine Guns feud.
Oh, yeah. That was pre-2012?
Yeah, that was probably right before Bullet Club.
Yeah, Bullet Club happened maybe a few years after that.
Oh, so this is when Balor would go solo after a while.
Yeah.
So this was probably during Taguchi, because I think Taguchi had an injury sometime right before Balor really kickstarted the Bullet Club. But not really too much comedy in this one. Taguchi played mostly comedy through most of the match shows, but you know, it was cool because he's over as fuck, and I don't know why people have a problem with the guy who's over with the crowd doing what makes him over with the crowd, right?
Right.
But this was one of Taguchi's more straightforward wrestling matches, and him and Sabin had a really good, definitely up to that point, I would say the best match of the show. Taguchi gets the victory and gets that long tie at 6 points. Then we had El Desperado, who was, like a lot of guys, came in with only 2 wins, taking on Dragon Lee, who actually won his first 3 matches and lost his next 3 matches. So, And I made some notes about our boy Dragon Lee here real quick, but and this also ties into the fact that Katsuyori Shibata was at the show too, and he was watching a few of this match, including this match. But Dragon Lee had been doing some of Shibata's stuff during the tour. The sleeper penalty kick combination, he's added that to his line of moves in Japan. And sometimes he actually does the sleeper hold into the sleeper suplex.
Nice.
Yeah. He came out to one show with the Shibata shirt wrestler, too. So he was paying his respects to Shibata. But, of course, Dragon Lee doesn't wrestle like a lot of luchadors do. He, even in Mexico, he wrestles a lot more like a Puro guy. It just happens to be very lucha-based. Actually, he might have wore the wrestler shirt here. Anyway, El Desperado did win. He had most of his mask ripped off by Dragon Lee, so he was able to cover his face with his hair and awareness of where the camera was at all times, so you never got to see the full shot of his face. That's a guy dedicated to his gimmick. But Desperado won. Dragon Lee would tweet out later that he's demanding a mask versus mask match.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And in tying into some news, Tomoaki Hanma appeared and announced he will be making his return at one of the shows during the Kizuna Road Tour. He will be teaming with Togi Makabe. They're doing an open challenge. Yeah, so Hanma is healthy, apparently.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
Yeah, so we return from the B-Block matches to the A-Block matches with the wrestlers who had shots at the finals. Opening up with Will Ospreay, who was at going into this match, 8 points. You know, one of the only guys who was at 8 points at the time, taking on Flip Gordon, who had 6 points. I still don't like Flip Gordon. He does a lot of stuff, and a lot of it looks cool, but I mean, his ground game is very more designed to set guys up in position, which is kind of a Lucha Libre thing, but Lucha Libre, they do it in sort of a weird, fast-paced style to get their guys in position for their dives. Whereas Ospreay stuff just, I'm not Ospreay, or Gordon stuff, it's not like that. It's, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it's take the guy down, go for a, or put the guy in position, go for a high-flying move. A cool high-flying move. Whereas in Lucha Libre is, do some cool stuff to get the guy in a position, then do some ridiculous stuff afterwards. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of what Flip Gordon is. And, I mean, this match was very good, but I just don't like Flip. I don't. But Will Ospreay won, so there's that. So Will Ospreay, first guy to get to 10 points in the tournament. He has a clear shot at the finals, depending on the next match, which is Taiji Ishimori, who was coming in with 8 points, and the tiebreaker victory over Will Ospreay, taking on Ospreay's stablemate, Yo, of Roppongi 3K / Chaos. And Taiji Ishimori won by making Yo tap out in a match that was really good, but then the last 5 minutes made it pretty damn great. The crowd was super hot for that last 5 minutes, with Yo trying to get the flash win because he won all his matches with the a version of the prawn hold with the arms locked down, so some really good stuff. Ospreay actually came out partway through the match and was playing corner man, which gave the match even more going forward, so you got to see Ospreay's reaction during the whole thing. So that was a very good match. So Taiji Ishimori straight up to the finals. And then we got the last of the Block B matches. We had Sho and Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll had a very slim chance of making the finals. He would have had to win this match, and the other guys would have had to tie for him to get to the finals. That didn't happen because Sho pulled up his third win to get 6 points, defeating Marty Scurll with a shock arrow in a very good match with a very good closing stretch. The main event was Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida, who were rivals. This was a good match. Sadly, it wasn't one of their better matches, and this was a very hot show, but it was still a really good main event. But Hiromu Takahashi got the victory with the triangle choke. someone posted a statistics for this, and Haruma actually altogether wrestled longer than every wrestler in the tournament up to that point.
Huh.
Oh, and also Haruma now has one of the sickest looking fucking power pile drivers you'll ever see. Instead of being a double underhook pile driver like the J Driller, it's kind of an overhook thing, so it comes down even uglier. He did it and then put on the triangle choke. It was... It's like, why would you take that, man? Why would you do something like that? So, your finals, Roma Takahashi versus Taiji Ishimori, a.k.a. Bone Soldier! And that went to the next day, which I did not watch the finals when it came on, because doing one show at 2:30 a.m. was good enough for me. So, we opened up with Chris Sabin and Flip Gordon defeating Tiger Mask and Shoto Muna. Obviously, Sabin and Flip won. It was an okay match. I actually watched that one. I skipped the six-man match of Chaos. You know what? I hate these random-ass advertisement things that pop up sometimes when you're on a website and they just basically try to ruin your... What the hell is this nonsense? Alright. Sorry. But you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you have something opened up and you're going through it and then suddenly an advertisement takes over the entire browser.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, it was one of those stupid motherfuckers. I don't know. Websites really need to get their shit together with their ads. Alright, so yeah, skip the six-man tag match, Chaos versus Suzuki-Gun. This guy rated it pretty well, but I'm just using this as a reminder of what was happening. I didn't really watch... kind of watched Goto teaming up with Roppongi 3K to take on Tai Chi and Kanemaru and El Desperado, the junior tag champs. Hirooki Goto showing Yo won. Yeah... I believe Yo pinning Kanemaru with that pin of his. Then we had Skrull and Yujiro Takahashi defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi and Toa Hinare. Skrull actually locked in the chicken wing on Tanahashi after the match. Liger had to make the save, so that leads to what's going to happen at Dominion. We had Naito, Sonata, Evil, and Bushi taking on Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, Dragon Lee, and ACH, and this was a very fun, fast-paced match. There was a Jericho video thing afterwards. Then we got the semi-main. Kazuchika Okada and Will Ospreay defeated Kota Ibushi and Chase Owens. Pretty good match, too. And then you had the main event. Best of the Super Junior 25 final match. Takahashi versus Taiji Ishimori. This match was big. They went hard. They went into the crowd. Takahashi got a hurricanrana downstairs. Big match. They ended up saving the time bomb finish for this one as Haruma Takahashi beat Ishimori in what I'm to understand possibly the longest match of any of the Super Junior finals. So your winner of the 25th annual. Best of the Super Juniors is Haruma Takahashi. And do not be surprised if Dave Meltzer whips out a 5-star review for this match. He was talking about it very high praise the other day. So, yep. Very good fucking tournament. Very good main event. And that's that. So that will be leading to some upcoming New Japan stuff. Well, any thoughts on the tournament, man?
I don't have many thoughts because I only saw like a few matches during the whole freaking tournament. So like, I have to like actually go back and watch some of the stuff that people recommend.
I would recommend pretty much any Dragon Lee match and any show match because I thought they were the MVPs of their block. That's Block B. For Block A, my every Will Ospreay match was really, really good. He would be my choice for Block A MVP. But definitely the main event, the finals, I mean, is the main one.
Yeah.
The finals is the best match of the tournament. But other than that, if you were wanted to expand beyond the finals, yeah, any Will Ospreay match, any show match, and any Dragon Lee match. Mostly. The Dragon Lee Taguchi match you kind of skip. I mean, it's fun in a way. The show Taguchi match is a little bit better. Like I said, Taguchi was more, it looked like they wanted him to work a lighter style for, like, to give the guys a break on the tour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the show match he had was one of his better wrestling matches, and he actually won that one with a version of the half Nelson suplex I'd never seen him pull off before, which was interesting. Alright, are you ready for the big fucking show this Saturday, man?
What big show?
Dominion 6.9 in Osaka Joe Hall.
Jesus. So Dominion's already here, because I don't even know the schedule for anything.
Yeah, this is this happens, and then they're gonna do kind of a week tour that doesn't really matter. It's just to get their guys some work for a little while.
Yeah,
we're not really gonna go into the tour. There's only one show on the tour I'm gonna mention. But yeah, after this is the Kizuna Road tour. That's just kind of whatever. And it's just, you know, to take up time between that, the big shows that are happening, like the Cow Palace show. Really, the Cow Palace show is the next big one. Though there's the CEO NJPW show that's happening later this month. The CEO is the Street Fighter thing, or the fighting game thing.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kenny Omega and the guy who runs that actually are put together the New Japan show themselves for that one.
Oh, okay.
So there's no word if that's going to air live. It'll probably be it'll be taped and then probably... Oh, actually, I think they're supposed to be airing it on Twitch as it happens. I'll try to get more details about that. But yeah, the Dominion is pretty much the second biggest show of the year for New Japan. It will... after this, it's pretty... You can pretty much go on a break from New Japan until they announce, you know, G1 Climax matches, right?
Yeah.
Though, I guess the Cow Palace show will probably have, depending on how things turn up, will probably have at least two title matches on it. But this is the big one right here, this Saturday. So here we go. Match number one. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match. As the 57th champion team, representing Suzuki-Gun, El Desperado, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, take on the challenger team of Sho, Yo, Roppongi 3K, representing Chaos. Match number two, one that might have give us a clue if there's going to be a title match at the Cow Palace in July. We have David Finley, Juice Robinson, taking on the Chaos team of Yoshihashi and the U.S. champion Jay White. Third match up, spinning slightly out of what happened in this random six-man tag match at the Best of the Super Junior Finals, we have Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii of Chaos taking on Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki of Suzuki-Gun. It looked like something went down with Ishii and Suzuki. We'll see what goes on. Next up, we got our never open weight championship match as the 17th champion Hirooki Goto takes on challengers in a triple threat match. His challengers are Michael Elgin and Taichi.
Ew, Michael Elgin.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, I'll talk about this after I do this whole thing. Fifth match of the IWGP Tag Team Championship match as the 79th championship team representing Los Ingobernables de Japón, Sanada, and the King of Darkness Evil take on the challengers, Matt and Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks.
The motherfucking Young Bucks!
Bullet Club and being the Elite. And in a special six-man tag match, we have Team Cody Bullet Club of Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll taking on the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Boomyaka Rey Mysterio Jr. 619.
Booyaka, booyaka.
And on our top three matches, seventh match, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. And from stats shows that the Junior Heavyweight Championship match has been slowly working its way up the card every Dominion since 2012. So this is the highest they've been on the show. The 80th champion representing Chaos, Will Ospreay, defends his title against the Best of the Super Juniors 25 winner, representing Los Ingobernables de Japón, Hiromu Takahashi.
Then, yeah, that one should be crazy.
Yes. Then, in our semi-main event, or according to one of these guys, the real main event, the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match as Tetsuya Naito, the 18th champion, in his second reign and still not carrying the belt around, will be taking on the challenger, the former, the WWE Grand Slam champion, Chris Jericho, Y2J. Also, in our main event, our big main event, no time limit, 2 out of 3 falls, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match in, from Chaos, the man with the single longest reign of any champion, the man who's beaten the defense record for a single title run, the man with the longest combined days as champion, the man who, when he should be training, is currently fishing, because that's how serious he's taking this shit, a man who just recently in an interview complained about having to carry the title to the press area after doing matches, Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker, taking on the challenger, representing the Golden Lovers, and maybe the Bullet Club, we're not quite sure, Kenny Omega, the Clean Cup. And that is your card. You got any thoughts?
Should be crazy, man. I think it's going to be a good one.
This one looks really good. I was going to say, I kind of think Elgin's going to end up winning the title. He hasn't had a title in a while. I don't know. I mean, they could give it to Tai Chi, but who knows with what's going on with G1 Climax if they're going to want the champion inside the G1 Climax. You know Goto's going to be there. Elgin will probably be there. I'm a little... I'm really unsure of how the heavyweight tag team match is going to go. I can kind of see Sonata and Evil pulling out the victory here, and then the Young Bucks getting another title shot later. But I could also see them giving the title to the Young Bucks and then having them defend the title while Sonata and Evil are in the G1 Climax, too. So, do you think Chris Jericho wins the IC title?
I hope so. I hope so. I want to see
that. That would be interesting.
He'll be the greatest IC champion of all time. Overall.
It's possible.
Overall, because of the WWE one, and he would help hold the New Japan one. IC.
That would be a big one. All right, let me go through some shows we got happening since we just did the New Japan one. All right, if you follow Lionsgate Project, they're having the 13th show. It's a New Japan pseudo-developmental. You'll get to see their new guys wrestle each other, Yoto Tsuji and versus Yuya Uemura. We got Ren Narita taking on a guy named Shunsuke Sayama. I'm assuming he's K-Dojo or something. Dinosaur Takuma, who I still haven't watched because I don't really watch these shows. Teams with Hiroyoshi Tenzin to take on Toa Hinara and Manabu Nakanishi. In the semi-main this time is Yuji Nagata. He's main evented, I think, every show before this. He will be taking on Tomoyuki Oka, but the main event will be Shota Umino taking on the K-Dojo breakout star Ayato Yoshida. So these shows are... I watched the first few, and I watch big matches occasionally, but the Shinjuku face crowd is really, really good. They're always behind the Young Lion, so there's that. Kizuna Road Tour happens. There's no matches announced, but I'm going to spotlight a few things. We have mainly the Tuesday show for next week is the Super Strong Machine retirement ceremony at Corican Hall. So that one might be interesting. It'll probably be filmed. And then because I'm probably just going to skip the tournament entirely, the 23rd of June will be the return of Tomoyuki Hanma. So that show might make tape. But that New Japan, let's get to some of the other stuff. All right, here we go. First off, let's do Powerbomb TV. You ready, man?
Powerbomb TV. Let's go.
All right. On Friday, you got the first night of Nova Pro Wrestling's 2018 Men's Commonwealth Cup. Your time would be... What is it? It's not Central. I guess your time is 6:30 on here. CDT, all I see is CDT, MDT, PDT, HKT, and UTC. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, here's the matches. We have Eric Royale versus Logan LaRoe. PCO versus Nick Gage. Bo Crockett versus Gunnar Miller. Dominique Guarini versus Eddie Kingston. I wonder if he's still the last of the Dying Breed. Sage Phillips versus Jimmy Jacobs. Willer Utah versus Alexander James. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams versus Kurt Stallion. And Fred Yehi versus Safety First Tim Donst. Okay. The second night of that show is on, it will be the next night, but before that show airs, there's a show on at 2 p.m. your time, I guess, from Pro Wrestling Chaos, streaming from Bristol, UK. This show will have Walter versus Big Grizzly, and Helico versus Mark Haskins versus Dick Riley versus Chris Brooks versus Beano. Maiden of Chaos Championship match, Ginny defends against Shax. The Hundred Brothers versus Team Hate. Sierra Loxton versus Wild Boar. Chief Deputy Dunn versus Kid Lykos. And Joey Ryan is scheduled to appear. And then later in the day, 7:30 Eastern time. Okay, so your thing would have been 7:30 Eastern time. All right. You have the second night of the Commonwealth Cup from Nova. So they only thing announced here, obviously, because it's a tournament, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis will be defending his title against Isaiah Frazier. And that is your Powerbomb TV shows for coming up. We got three more shows to go through real quickly. You ready?
Yep, let's get it.
All right, here we got two WWN live shows happening. Viva La Lucha in Brooklyn on June 8th. 6:30 start time. It doesn't appear there's any matches, but we have a list of wrestlers. Bestia 666, Mr. 450, Garza Jr., Tiburin, Ryo, Viano 4, Atlantis, the Clone Ramirez, Brian Ido, Huracan Ramirez Jr., Hio de Fishman, Hio de Mascara Sagrada, Ultimo Ninja, Akamura, and Messiah. So there's a few real Lucha Libre legends on this one.
Speaking of Lucha Libre, did you hear about Jeff Jarrett?
Yeah, I got that in my news thing, because that's part of a huge, huge, well, some big stuff happening in the world of Lucha Libre, so I have that set in my news. You want to go over it now, or you want to save it?
It's up to you.
We'll save it then. Alright, and the other WWE show on Saturday, June 9th, is Shine Wrestling. I actually bothered to look this up. Alright, here we go. I'm going to read it bottom from the top. The Radiant Rain versus Ali Rex. Four-way freestyle match, I guess. Aja Parara. Natalia Markova versus Amber Nova versus the debuting Willow Nightingale. The Cutie Pie Club of Kira Hogan and Dementia DeRose versus Rainbow Bright of Luscious Latasha and Gabby Gilbert. Stormy Lee versus Leva. I wonder if that means Leva Bates. I don't know. Priscilla Kelly versus Holly Dead. The Shine Nova Championship match has Candy Cartwright of the Cutie Pie Club defending against Satana, I'm assuming that means Satana Garrett. Shine Tag Team Match of Las Sicarias of Mercedes Martinez and Ivelisse, who people don't like, versus Ruthless Ambition of Maria Manic and Penelope Ford. The main event is the title match with Lufisto defending against Sue Young. Now I got one more show for you. Another tournament. Shikara Pro presents Johnny Kidd Invitational part, the second one. First round matches include Jigsaw making his return, taking on a guy named Thomas Santel. Travis Huckabee versus Rory Gulak. Green Ant taking on the returning Colt Cabana. We'll talk about him a little later. Ophidian versus Solo Darling. Then we have non-tournament matches. The Beast Warriors of Oleg the Usurper and the Boar Moldova taking on the Legion of Rot, Frightmare, and Hollow Wicket. And also a singles match between Cornelius Crummles and the current Volgar, who's part of the group the Proteus Wheel, who are in the King of Trios recently announced. So that is your shows that I bothered to look up for this weekend. And that's it. Do you feel like talking about WWE or just skipping it entirely?
Well, yeah, I don't. Raw, I fell asleep. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked.
Yeah, SmackDown, not really worth mentioning, really either.
But it created such a cool meme. You saw that, right?
No, which one?
It's the AJ Styles meme.
Oh, where he slapped up Shinsuke?
No, when they're pulling him away from the table and Shinsuke's looking away and Paige looks kind of sad and people are just writing stuff over it like, I want to talk to your manager, or why isn't there a White History Month?
Or Apple Care.
Yeah, basically it's just like presenting AJ Styles as the annoying white soccer mom.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, that's basically the meme happening right now.
I think, what else happened? Big Cass cut this promo about Daniel Bryan, but then Daniel Bryan had, like, a promo web exclusive on YouTube or whatever that really tore into him, so...
She jumps the Chrome all the way home or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that, I don't know. But, yeah, he tore him apart.
Good promo.
And then 205 Live happened. The only things worthwhile that happened there is that Leo Rush apparently cut a vignette, so he will actually be part of 205 Live now, and doing his whole man of the hour thing. Got the money on the table and all that shit like that. So he's really playing up that cocky young heel gimmick or whatever.
In a segue related news, apparently both Ethan Page and ACH were trying to contact him to be part of their Troll Boys album that they're joking about making.
Oh, the mixtape, yeah.
Apparently, he doesn't return text messages or tends not to know them.
I think the only person in the indies that he contacts, that he even bothers to talk to, is Joey Janela.
Who does nothing but make fun of him.
But I think they it's like a thing with them, I guess, because he's not like he's fucking pissed off at that at all. He just loves fucking with them. But,
Yeah,
after that, there was the... Definitely check out the Mustafa Ali, Buddy Murphy match. That's like the third match, but of course it was fucking baller until freaking, Hideo Itami intervened, so I guess he is gunning for the Cruiserweight title as well. So, yeah. And, that's all for the weekly television I bothered to pay attention to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it then. Let's talk news. All right, yeah. Should I get the depressing, sad news out the way first?
Or yeah, let's get through it.
All right. Rocking Rebel, formerly of ECW, this past weekend was found dead alongside his wife from an apparent murder-suicide. So, yeah. I'm not too familiar with Rocking Rebel myself, so, but it was, it happened this weekend. It was the, people were talking about it, and I was like, well, that's depressing. There is a story. Joey Janela talked a little bit about Rockin' Rebel because I guess he kind of knew him. He didn't have really good words for Rockin' Rebel. He said that when he was, I think he was still 15 and he was starting to wrestle, Rockin' Rebel actually got him drunk before his match.
Oh, wow. So he was a real...
So he said he didn't have a really... And that's how I found out about the Rockin' Rebel thing, because I tracked it down wondering who he was talking about. Because he said he felt bad for his wife and kids, but he did not care for Rockin' Rebel at all. But hopefully his kids, hopefully his kids are doing okay after this. In some trial news, and I'm not getting into big trials quite yet, Frankie the Mobster is on trial for drug trafficking.
Frankie the Mobster? You mean that, he's Canadian, right?
Yes. He's also been working as an actor stuntman. But yeah, and I mean, it was one of those things where I was like, who would have known that Frankie the Mobster would be on trial for drug trafficking? I mean, who sees that coming? Let me see if I can get... I only wrote that part down. I don't know if I actually... I didn't really bother to look too deeply into it, because I think I was too busy kind of laughing when I read that. Like, none of these, all these ones are in French. I don't understand French.
But there was another trial that went down, too. I mean, not another trial, but an arrest that went down as well.
Is that the one that happened today, earlier?
Yeah, like, I think it was, like, yesterday, last night. Like, Tuesday night, basically.
Yeah, that was Brian Christopher.
Brian Christopher. So apparently he ended up getting arrested because he didn't pay in full for a hotel room because the company card, I don't know what company he works for, that wouldn't have enough funds for him, didn't have enough money in the card. So I guess some of the room was paid for, but not all. And next thing you know, police get called because the hotel management basically report that they didn't pay in full for their room. And yeah, they ended up getting locked up because it was him and I think a coworker.
It's Brian Christopher. I don't know what to say about that.
Right.
But we can talk about the big trial that just ended yesterday, as Colt Cabana and CM Punk found not guilty of libel.
Chick Magnet Punk.
Finally.
Yeah.
Confirmation on something I didn't even care about in the first place. I mean, I read through some of the stuff with the files. Man, this doctor's lawyer sucked. Did you see the bit from the other day with AJ Lee? Did you read that?
No, what happened?
The guy kept wanting her to confirm sections of, like, text messages and notes, but he kept bringing up the wrong text messages. Like, the first one was, like, something from Zach's writer. She had to point it out to him. But he kept bringing up the wrong evidence to her, and he had to keep correcting himself.
Wow.
The guy was not organized.
Terrible.
At all.
Like, okay, you work for the WWE, you can't get a good lawyer, a decent lawyer that will actually get shit straight?
What if it was a WWE lawyer and they're so used to not actually going to trial? Like, they usually get things done in, like, litigation or arbitration and stuff like that, right? Where they just have to sit down and talk about it. This is, like, one of the few times they've actually had to go to actual trial. So, I don't know, was he working doing this on a WWE dime, or was he doing this out of his own dime?
I think it might have been on his own dime. I wouldn't All right,
surprised. Maybe that's what happened. He couldn't... None of the WWE lawyers wanted to take it. But, I looked through some of it. The prosecutor guy, you know, or whatever, the guy for the doctor did a 90-minute closing argument.
90 minutes? This. Yeah, that's crazy,
yes.
Man.
He did a whole movie's worth of closing minutes.
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Joe Pesci and Cousin Vinny would have got that done in 10 minutes, huh?
Yeah, what a fucking asshole.
I know. But yeah, they lost. WrestleZone was there covering the whole thing, so the guy actually...
They got the exclusive.
And CM Punk called Colt Cabana his friend, so we got confirmation they're still friends. He did mention that he felt bad for Colt Cabana being dragged into this when he really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And someone also pointed out this is probably also a victory for podcasting because, you know, the idea of being sued for libel and then having to pay a dollar for every download.
Yo, that shit is insane. That was like, and then it was almost $4 million. That seems crazy. And then that was plus additional shit. So,
and people have been, like the recent, like I mentioned, Dollop had to take down a podcast because they were threatened with libel just last week.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, for the guy who organized that pipeline protest and had the really shady GoFundMe behind him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so that was a a victory for podcasting. So yeah, good for Colt and Punk. And now the doctor actually has to pay their legal fees, so he's out money. All right, let me get through some other news.
Oh, and besides that, of course, just to continue with the CM Punk news, he will be fighting this weekend in the UFC, his second bout. I get another 0-1 fighter, so maybe he has a chance. I don't know. But,
well, he's coming off that victory. He's coming off a very important victory. That's some momentum right there.
Yeah. And they had some. I think they had like one promo with him, basically saying that yeah, he's basically doing this for the glory of it. He's not doing it for the money. Like he really wants to like go there and prove himself. Yada yada yada. So we'll see how this goes. Hopefully he doesn't get his ass beat like he did against Mikey Gall. Actually lands a punch, because like you know he didn't land a single punch or kick in the last in his first fight.
I heard
he didn't touch that man. He just got his ass beat.
Yeah. I don't know what Punk's gonna do after all of this is all done. I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably could get work doing something. He's got friends. He could probably do some stuff in Hollywood if he really needed to, or write or something like that. Well, we'll see. All right. Some interesting notes. Taiji Ishimori has been announced for Impact's upcoming Slammiversary pay-per-view.
So he's still working with TNA.
Well, this is the strange thing. He told TNA he wasn't going to be working with them anymore now that he was part of New Japan and part of Bullet Club. But I guess Don Callis and Impact wanted him, and Don Callis went to New Japan, and not only did they make it happen, but he is officially showing up as a member of the Bullet Club, as Bone Soldier.
That's funny.
But this leads to even more interesting things. Especially,
it's interesting for the fact that like, they haven't had the greatest relationship with like New Japan guys, because like the way they used like Okada, Shinsuke, and Tanahashi was like subpar at best.
Yeah. Now, of course, if they tried to, they could not get away with doing that to New Japan now. Anyway, there's no way that, you know, with how more popular New Japan here is than Impact, there's no way they would send like Tanahashi or someone down there to lose to some second-rate dude. But who knows how much this really matters, because we don't know what Impact's relationship with Pro Wrestling Noah still is.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This, another kind of related, I listened to it, but apparently Sami Callihan went off on All In and the Jericho Cruise, and Impact is demanding or something that they're going to be on the Jericho Cruise with Ring of Honor, so who knows what's going on there. But it looks like the walls of professional wrestling are breaking down all over, because AAA and CMLL had some shit going down this weekend and happening right now as we're recording this. So, first of all, Dr. Wagner left AAA, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is Jeff Jarrett returned, became the Mega Champion, and who else returned but Phoenix, who is currently on CMLL's Informer show saying he's going to be there at CML Friday. CMLL, the oldest wrestling promotion in the world, the original Lucha Libre promotion, and rivals to AAA. Also, who was at that AAA show, L.A. Park, who's currently feuding with Rush in CMLL.
Oh, God.
So, and also returning to AAA, apparently, is Conan as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, what the fuck is happening to Lucha Libre?
Yeah, I saw Conan at that pick with Jeff Jarrett. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, Crash is dead. Crash is nothing. So, you have L.A. Park working both CMLL and AAA. You have Rey Fénix about to make his debut in Arena Mexico, the most famous wrestling arena in Mexico, and while it's not as big as like wherever AAA goes their big pay-per-views, obviously, you know, Arena Mexico gets like at least 6,000 people every day time they do a wrestling show, and that's be fucking insane. compared to most wrestling promotions outside of WWE, right? Mm-hmm. So this is especially interesting because CMLL's mindset and AAA's mindset are completely different. CMLL is one of the most conservative wrestling promotions in the world. They're essentially family-friendly. They are, you know, they have a very specific structure. They're very old-school Lucha Libre, where a lot of their matches are still 2 out of 3 falls with captains, where the captain counts as 1 full fall, and the non-captains in trios matches are half a fall each, essentially. They're extremely conservative promotion. They don't do hardcore, really. I don't think I've ever seen them do a hardcore match. They are very old school. Triple A was built out of frustration with CMLL's conservative style. Triple A is more influenced by American wrestling. They don't necessarily do the 2 out of 3 falls thing. They go crazy with the hardcore. CMLL doesn't necessarily like a lot of wrestlers doing big dives early in the shows. Triple A doesn't care. But at the same time, AAA is a state of chaos, and CMLL has always been pretty straightforward with the way it moved. Sure, the stories may not be good or whatever, but you can always rely on, you know, the predictability of CMLL in a way. So these are two very different promotions. So who knows how this is going to turn out. It is good news for some of the luchadors on both ends. It'll give some of the AAA guys opportunities to go up higher that they wouldn't get in AAA. CMLL's guys who have been kind of not given chances will be able to spotlight their talents against other guys. But who knows how this is going to work out. But yeah, apparently Mexican wrestling is crazy right now. And it will be crazy until CMLL realizes they really don't like AAA and just pull everybody. Because that's how wrestling works. And that is your, well, let me see if there's any updates on the Phoenix. Because like I said, they're doing his interview right now. Fredo Esparza of Lucha World is following the news. Let's see what he says. Ray Phoenix thanking CMLL for allowing this change in Lucha Libre. Thank them for making this change and permitting him to wrestle at Arena Mexico.
The legendary.
Yeah. I don't know what Relam Pago mat is, but I'm assuming that's a traditional Mexican wrestling match. So I don't know. Yeah, Ray Phoenix said he every luchador dreams of wrestling Arena Mexico. Yep. He mentioned Negro Casas, Ultimo Guerrero, and Cavanero. He's mentioned Penta a couple times, it looks like. And there is a rumor that Penta will show up on the show as well. So this Friday's CMLL show will be interesting. CMLL does stream their Friday show. However, sometimes it's geo-blocked. If it is, one of the guys will stream it through his YouTube page. I forget the dude's name. But he'll have it on his YouTube page until it goes up on the official CMLL page. So even if you can't watch it on Friday, it should be up on CMLL's official YouTube for free the following Saturday. So that's that.
I'm done with news.
Oh, that's it? That's it. That's all you got? I'm joking. All right.
That's all I cared about, I guess.
Yeah, so there was a lot more other shit. Okay, so you already brought up your murder-suicide guy, yada, yada, yada. You heard about Deonna Purrazzo, right?
I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's officially confirmed. I did comment on it because I was like, well, this will start the Marty Scurll rumors, no doubt.
Yeah. But yeah, of course, there's a rumor that she has signed a developmental contract with the WWE.
Yeah, sometimes if stuff happens like right after we record, like last week, I forget about it.
Yeah. I don't start writing shit down until the weekend.
Yeah.
The end of the weekend.
I always, it's immediately I start writing shit down. But yeah, that, there's that rumor. Besides that, speaking of developmental, WWE has launched a performance center, a website, apparently, where you could actually, like, apply to the performance center, I guess. So, they're, like, I guess like any other company, that's basically their application page for the most part. They got testimonials and all this other things from other wrestlers who've touched down in NXT and the developmental center, the PC, and whatnot, yada yada yada. So,
oh, I don't mean to interrupt really badly, but I forgot about this. But the WrestlePro show this weekend is the one that has Joey Janela and Ultimo Dragon.
Oh yeah, that's right. I heard about that.
So I guess they want it. It also have James Ellsworth. The real draw.
LA, yeah. Intergender champion.
LAX. Oh, and that reminds me, this past weekend, Dave Prezak and Eric Cannon surprised Mike Quackenbush at the WrestlePalooza show for A1 with him taking on Ultimo Dragon,
yeah,
along with Ultimo Dragon's old WCW manager, Sonny Ono.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was an unannounced surprise match, so that's pretty good. Actually, they bothered. Let me just quickly go through this. LAX will be are the champions defending their titles against Massage Envy, Heavenly Bodies. I guess there's a new version taking on the Beach Bumps. Well, I think I've actually seen the match. That's all I have right here, and that's all I'm going to give you because I don't want to interrupt too much more.
That's all good. Besides that, Dean Ambrose actually made an appearance at this at one of the Stanley Cup Finals games last Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, that's not Dean Ambrose.
But yeah, he's looking healthy. I don't know if he's gotten a fresh cut because like he was wearing a hat, but it did look like his stuff was a little neater per se and whatnot. So people still patiently waiting for Dean Ambrose.
Like,
I'm not. honestly, like, wrestling, like, I guess he's a draw. People love him, but, like, I don't want to see his matches.
The best thing he did last year was his team with Seth Rollins. Yeah. This year.
Yeah, his best stuff is when he's teaming with somebody.
Yeah. His stuff with Seth Rollins as a tag team was great. I will go so far. Those matches with the bar. But as a singles wrestler, he's unremarkable to me.
Yeah.
I mean, though his promos are actually pretty good, and he has a very set character. And that is the kind of important things about having a character. If you're not exactly the best at constructing a match or pacing a match, having a character is definitely fucking important. Of course, you could always try to aim to be like the Dream and have character and skill.
And skill, yeah.
Man, I am so hyped for NXT TakeOver.
Yo, like, Dream, I am ready because I already saw a Ricochet, like, Velveteen Dream match. And if it's as good as the one I saw, then I'll be satisfied. Because that shit was insane. And that was only a live event.
Yeah, that whole bit where he's cutting the promo on him, and then Ricochet just does the flip to the outside.
No hands, front flip. Could have destroyed his knees, he didn't.
Yeah, he walked up to him, and Dream is such an underrated seller as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the great wrestling sellers now. Dream, everything he does when he's selling, if he's winning, or he's selling a loss, or just surprise, the man is all character.
Yeah. All character, man. Speaking of characters, guess who is returning to wrestling?
Oh, wait, David Arquette?
Yeah, David Arquette. He announced on the Wendy Williams show that he would be making his return to pro wrestling basically to redeem himself for his dismal, his infamous WCW run. Apparently, it's also part of a documentary. I think he's, like, filming too, so should be interesting.
Yeah, He loves wrestling so much, this shit's going to be awesome. He's got challengers. He had that thing with Davey Vega, I believe it was, or Matt Fidget of Best Cities of the World. Joey Janela just demanded a match with him.
They've already basically kind of locked down one match for him already. Him versus Human Tornado at, what was it, Gathering of the
Tornado
Jugglers.
Challenged him. Tornado's got a... That retirement for Tornado was quick as fuck.
Well, maybe he's retiring later, because he didn't give a freaking date on it. He didn't give a date on it, so maybe he's on his farewell tour this year, per se. Well,
that's one way to do a farewell tour, is beat up David Arquette on your way out.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's some interesting stuff, so... I'm definitely looking forward to it. David Arquette's a good guy. So, it's not, like, I don't have anything against the dude, really. So, because I've never seen his WCW run. Because I didn't watch WCW back in the day.
I vaguely remember it. I remember the response afterwards more.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, WCW? And that was basically it. If the internet was really a thing, like a big thing at that time... I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
We didn't, you know, didn't really have Google and all our forum pages were the alt forum thing.
Yeah.
So it was harder we didn't have Twitter. It was harder to gauge the outrage, but the outrage was there.
Oh, man. See, because, like, the only thing I knew of him for wrestling related when I was a kid was the fucking Ready to Rumble movie. And to this day, I still love that movie. I know it's bad, but I fucking love it. I don't care.
Hey, man.
I love that fucking movie,
even though
movie,
I haven't seen the movie myself, I have some of my favorite movies of all time are technically considered bad.
Bad, yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean that the original animated Transformers movie is still more hardcore than any Transformers movie ever.
Oh.
One of the best animated films of all time.
Oh, and since we want to talk about... Transformers, we might as well segue to another piece of news.
I didn't mean to do that, but I know what you're talking
about. It happens. It happens. But, yeah, the trailer for Bumblebee came out, and of course, featured in it is John Cena as, I think, Agency 7 leader or something like that. Whatever. So basically, he plays a military type dude in it.
The thing that gets me about the Bumblebee trailer is this the first of these live-action Transformers movie where the Transformers actually look good.
Like, they look good, and they actually, like, you can see the transformations make sense. Because, like, you see, you look at the designs of, like, the Transformers in the past, they're, like, all this, like, super high-tech, crazy, like, shrapnel type. It's all over
the
place.
Yeah, a lot of jagged edges.
A lot of them.
Did you see the toys that made me when they were doing the Transformers episode?
Oh, no.
Because that's in the new season. I think it's the first or second episode.
It's on Netflix, right?
Huh?
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. The whole series is good. But he explained that one of the reasons their Transformers, because there was other Transformers toys, but the reason one of theirs was so much better is it was a little bit more complicated than the very easy, like, GoBots.
Yeah.
But it made sense.
But
the way
it made
you
sense,
built.
Yeah. Like, this Bumblebee movie, it makes fucking sense. The way they transform and the way they
look. Yeah, Starscream looks fucking amazing.
Yes.
I love Starscream.
Yo, look at Starscream here compared to his modern look in the other Transformers. He looks fucking ridiculous in those, okay, so you'll look at his body, it's like wide as shit. Like, his legs are, like, far apart. You don't even... You're trying to figure out how he's able to walk the way, his character design is. It's just all...
Yeah.
It's just fucking horrible. But now it looks... Starscream looks like Starscream.
Yeah, and Bumblebee looks great. He's even shorter like he's supposed to be compared to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Because Bumblebee was always one of the shortest.
The smaller ones, yeah.
Yeah. And if anyone has, like I said, the toys that made me, both seasons really good. Even the episodes with stuff that toys you might not like the Hello Kitty stuff, or even the Barbie stuff in season 1, all very good documentary stuff too. And if you can find it, you should be able to. The animated Transformers movie last year came out on Blu-ray. It is so much more brutal than any of the live-action movies. It literally starts with a fucking robot planet genocide, and then it gets worse 10 minutes later. That movie... And I was on... I just been thinking I need to rewatch it, but I just was thinking about it, because when it came out, it got really bad reviews and stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of movies get bad reviews. That's why I like critical reappraisals. I want to know the review 2, 3, 5 years after the movie comes out.
Yeah.
I got the initial review, okay, now let's find out 5, 10 years later.
That hindsight review.
Yeah. Because, you know, especially with some movies that are like the Grindhouse movies, especially the ones that seem like they were trying to do women empowerment, but they were kind of misogynistic at the same time.
Right.
Those are my favorite reappraisals. Like, if you get to find it, Miss 45, it falls in that kind of a rape revenge genre of movies. But the reappraisal for that, real good. Like,
speaking
women
of rape revenge, I think there's another one that's another one of those that's out, either out now or out soon. That's a rape revenge thing.
Yeah, most of those movies all follow the same structure, which was why most of them are bad. But Miss 45 ends up... After what happens to her, she essentially just starts just killing anybody. She just goes around shooting men.
Huh.
And she basically becomes a serial killer, so it's such a different style of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a mute, so she's doing... So the actress is doing the whole thing silent, too. So a lot of emoting. But that's a... Very good film. I watched it because of I heard about it, and I read a review from two women who were breaking it down, and they really liked it. But yeah, critical reappraisals are always fascinating to me, especially if you liked the film when it came out and got bad reviews, and then 10 years later everybody likes it. Like, yeah, I told you so.
Oh man. Okay. What other news? Apparently, The Rock's. Under Armour shoes that just launched, apparently those sold out already because it's The Rock. They actually look pretty nice, though. I think they're trainers, so it's one of those workout shoes. And then allegedly John Cena and Nikki Bella are back together.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, they're
back. Nikki, leave him. Not worth it.
it's too much shit to deal with. Oh man, yeah, get back with Dolph. I'm joking. Don't get back with Dolph. That guy's a douche.
No. Hey. Let Dolph go away.
Yeah, that guy's a douchebag. Anyway, and then now I'm about to address a whole bunch of Muslim stuff. One thing to note, Muhammad Hassan, who's not a real Muslim, apparently is trying to have like a little redemption tour. Or whatever. I think he's worked a few indie dates and stuff like that. Like, I would be all for it if he wasn't... is he... I don't even know if he's still doing the Muhammad Hassan gimmick still. Because, like, if he's still doing that, then I'm not going to be... I'm not with it at all.
Muhammad Hassan. Let's see if I can find it. I don't know how to spell Hassan. So I'm going to just randomly guess and have... Okay, are you... Yeah, I probably should put the word wrestler next to it. When you have the name Osama, Muhammad, that could be anybody, right?
Muhammad Hassan. Hassan.
H-A-S. All right, here we go, Muhammad. I look it up just briefly up to Antonio Inoki because his name is Muhammad Hassan Inoki.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe it's a different way to pronounce that, All right, maybe I need to do this week, because
it's weird. Like, okay, so I have like some stuff posted up. Like, they have like, I guess they had an event called King of Thrones, and then there's a video, and it clearly says Muhammad Hassan versus Muhammad Hassan versus the Greek god Papa Don. So, like, yeah, he's basically still wrestling as Muhammad Hassan.
Alright, apparently his spelling for Hassan is different than how Antonio Inoki does it. Alright, Mark Julian Copani. Okay, that's his name.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's from New York. hailed from Detroit. Early life. Graduated. Doesn't actually say anything about his actual, you know, well, okay, personal life. No, it doesn't say anything about what his actual background is. But the name Copani makes me think it's Italian.
Yeah, people have said that he's Italian. That's what people have said. He's not Muslim at all. And actual Muslim people that I know for a fact that he's not a fucking Muslim. Disgusted about, him, about his gimmick in the first place, and then disgusted that he is using this gimmick still in his comeback. Redemption, whatever.
I wasn't really paying attention to WWE when he was up in his thing, so it's.
It was very brief, but the time that he was, he was probably one of the top heels in the company, very quickly, because it was not too many years removed from 9/11, the whole. War on Terror was just kicking the gear in the past few years. Before that, he had a feud with the Undertaker, of course. Then there was that infamous terrorist thing where at some point out of nowhere a whole bunch of black clothed dudes came out of nowhere and beat the shit out of Undertaker and then hoisted him up like some type of martyr or whatever and carried him to the back or some crazy shit like that. And I think that was what sparked that was the end of him, because that had happened around the same time as the London attacks, the first London attacks that went down. But Muhammad Hassan was one of the heels in the company, because it was him on SmackDown, and then on Raw it was Evolution. But yeah, so he was fucking big, man. And out of the gate he was big as a heel. Then faded like that. He was done.
It should be. That guy should have never even. They should have never went with gimmick in the first place.
And then what made it worse was that they had. Who was his translator? I think it was Daivari. I want to say it was Daivari as his And then Daivari was speaking Farsi. And a lot of Muslim people noted that, they're not technically. They're not Arabic. He's not speaking Arabic. He's speaking fucking Farsi. So they not only were they had a dude that wasn't Muslim portraying a Muslim, they also had a guy speaking a language that they kind of pretended was Arabic, because of course nobody besides actual people who speak Arabic would give a shit about what he's saying. They just hear what he's saying and it's automatically foreign and from that region. Yeah. And besides that, fast forwarding to the Greatest Royal Rumble, apparently a terror group actually called the Greatest Royal Rumble sinful. It was a Yemen-based branch of Al-Qaeda that basically came forward and disparaged the event. Said a whole bunch of nasty shit about that.
Well, we both agree it was kind of sinful. First of all, why?
Yeah.
Do it there and, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But we're coming from two different areas of what we think is sinful for this.
I think here's one of their quotes. They said, "Foreign disbelieving wrestlers exposed their privates, and on most of them was the sign of the cross, in front of a mixed gathering of young Muslim men and women." They called it a sinful project. Sinful project. And then even more Muslim news. A WWE executive actually got fired after his wife was outed as a popular anti-Muslim Twitter user.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't write this down. Probably because I was like...
That was fucking huge. Because, like, I've seen that Twitter handle all the time when I, like... Like, I'll check certain, like... hashtags or moments on Twitter, and I'll see this fucking Amy Mech that I... The thing is that... That specific Twitter account, I always thought it was a fucking bot. I thought it was a bot, because... No way in hell did I think anyone was that fucking, like, aggressively hateful. I did not think anyone was that aggressively hateful, but I was wrong. But apparently, the lady's full name is Amy Jane Meckelberg. Her husband is a man by the name of Salvatore Sino. Who actually landed a WWE vice presidential gig, and that was early 2017. So he wasn't even two years into working for the company before he got fired. Well, I don't know if he got promoted or just got straight up hired that time, but WWE said that he would have been negotiating TV deals. In the United Arab Emirates, yes, a place where it's mostly Muslim.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that apparently the Huffington Post writer questioned WWE about it. They tried to deny that they knew anything about it. Then. It was later revealed that they knew, but basically told him to make sure he keeps his distance from his wife's account and all that, and all her dealings. So they knew what was going on.
Yeah. See, that puts him in a weird position because technically she's not an employee.
Right.
So he should not have to... suffer, but because, like, yeah, it's a tricky line because obviously companies don't want bad press.
Yeah, it's so it's a public relations issue, basically.
If anything, it's definitely her fault. She should know better. If her husband is working for a major company, I mean, they're gonna, if she does something stupid, which she did, it's going to reflect on him because a company doesn't want that guy involved if he doesn't share the same views.
Yeah. Here's a good example of stuff. When you're dealing with the military or any higher government, like when you're dealing with the U.S. government and stuff like that, when you're trying to get clearance and shit like that, they look at your relationships with everyone around you. So, if they feel like there's an issue with so-and-so that you have some type of relationship with, then that's a red flag. So, like, I look at it in that perspective, in that, yeah, you, like, your relationships do harm you in a way. Like, and it could harm whatever, you know? So, like...
Yeah. And no doubt that I'm sure people in WWE knew, but it wasn't common knowledge. Because I'm pretty sure if more people in WWE knew, he would have been out sooner. Because, you know, this is a company that is trying to expand in Muslim area. This is a company that has Muslim employees.
Right.
And, yeah. I mean, you got fucking Mustafa Ali kicking ass. You don't want this, you know. You have a great example, and I think Mustafa's Muslim. I know he's Pakistani, I believe.
Pakistani, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he's Muslim.
Yeah, he's Muslim through and through.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got a great, I don't want to use him as a great example. I'm just saying that this is one of the best wrestlers currently working, a guy who's handling himself with so much grace, a guy who has to deal with bullshit bullies online as well every once in a while.
Yeah,
you can't have that guy on promotion kind of faint knowledge of this other dude. For too long, at least. Because they tried.
Right.
I'm curious at how many people knew. Like, how far did it go? Do you think Vince McMahon knew? Or Triple H or them?
I think so. I think everybody, every higher-up probably knew. Like, I wouldn't hold it, I wouldn't put it past them that they knew. Yeah, they knew. Yep, and it's funny, the Amy Mack person, she got on Twitter again and basically went through this whole big, huge rant accosting the Luke O'Brien guy for outing her and ruining her life and blah, blah, blah.
I saw that. I saw some other stuff. People don't understand how investigative journalism works. He wanted to know who created, if this account was a bot. He found out it wasn't a bot. He exposed that it wasn't a bot. And, like everything, you're supposed to give a person the opportunity to comment. He did. He did investigative journalism, right? They're confusing doxing with investigative journalism. They're two different things. Doxing doesn't really come with investigative journalism, not normally. I mean, some dox for revenge because they're like, you know, find out someone's a Nazi and then they dox them. I get that. But investigative journalism is not doxing. There's usually a point at the end, and the point is exposing someone who has been slanderizing a hateful individual, but someone who's got family who is in some way profiting from Muslims because he's working for WWE, who's trying to expand as far as possible. Yeah. It's fucking idiotic. But then again, most people are so fucking idiotic, I swear to God. I think I saw today where the pizza delivery guy got picked up by ICE at the military.
That's fucked up. I had never seen no shit like that.
Did you see the responses? This guy was trying to explain to them that technically the military has no right to do that.
Yeah.
And he was posting, like, actual laws. But I guess, you know, this whole thing that ICE can deputize people. ICE ain't a real fucking federal promotion.
Yeah,
how the
crazy
fuck are they deputizing people?
This shit was fucking crazy. They deputized them. And so, okay, this man that they've known for a long, so, like, I don't know how long, but, like, apparently he's regularly delivering for these people. And they fucking screw him over. You know what? And the one thing that gets on my nerves is that, like, he's making an honest living, right? Okay, so they want to complain about illegal immigrants taking people's jobs, but at the same time want to tout that unemployment's at an all-time low in for certain like demographics like blacks and Hispanics. So, like, what is it that you really want unless you're just fucking racist? Like,
and here's
if
the thing,
things
isn't
are
that
improving.
Fucking, no,
if things are so improving for people, so to speak, then why the fuck are you pressing so hard to throw illegal immigrants out?
Especially because illegal immigrants usually still pay taxes. They pay more taxes than the most average tax-paying citizen.
Right.
There are a huge reason why my state is the fourth largest economy in the world.
Right.
But also, they want to talk about stealing jobs. There is a ton of farm jobs available that white people don't want to fucking touch.
Yeah, that's true.
And now it's getting harder to even legally bring Mexicans over to do it because the government wants to stand in the way. And it's like, look, white people aren't coming down to this job. You want us to make this food. We need migrant workers. White people are, like, horrible.
Fucking terrible, man. That shit's...
But yeah, I brought that up because of the way the responses to that kind of reminded me of the response of this. People confusing, like, that one they didn't understand investigative journalism. This one they don't understand that the military overstepped their where they should have been able to do. I mean, and this is weird because I remember when I was on military base and you bought stuff, you would come in and yeah, you would show your ID, but that was it. You actually, if you were a straight-up delivery man, they messed with you normally less. It was if you weren't a delivery guy, you were showing up, you had to, you know, They had to check your credentials. They had to make sure you were on the list. You were a delivery guy. They were like, they just checked to make sure you were really delivering something, and they let you in.
Right.
Times have changed. Oh, man. I hope the pizza place cuts that base off. We can't deliver there anymore. We ain't trying to get arrested.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
You better come get your own fucking pizza.
Oh, man. I remember West Point. They actually delivered McDonald's to West Point. This shit was crazy, man. Like, one of the few places in the country that McDonald's would deliver. Fucking, that shit was awesome. But I'm pretty sure that they had some illegal immigrants doing that shit, too. But no one cares.
But hey, they gotta make that money delivered, right?
Yeah. Okay, so
place should be delivering, man. Every place should deliver.
Yeah. Okay, some more news. Stone Cold Steve Austin addressed the What Chance, and in my eyes, I felt it was, like, really unnecessary to him to even bring it up, because he didn't outright condemn it. Like, he basically played diplomat, saying that there's, like, certain situations that call for it and some that don't, but in the end of the day, the chant is fucking trash. So, I don't care if, like, they are doing it in, like, a heel or a face, a heartfelt promo, or a strong, like, heel one, whatever. It just fucking dilutes things, you know? Like, it just makes everything bad. The What Chance. Everything.
Right, step up. My delivery man just dropped something off. I wanted to make sure nothing. I got everything.
Yeah. But the What Chance makes every fucking thing bad. Period.
Well, yeah. The What Chance should have died.
It should have died a long time ago. Because there's not a single instance in the modern era post Stone Cold Steve Austin that the What Chant has been utilized and it's been justified. You can't justify that fucking chant. You can't. Just besides just being a fucking dickhead. You know?
Yeah.
And I heard that shit during the weekly television, and it really got annoying. Like, on SmackDown. Like, they didn't even, you think people, instead of just fucking booing like a regular human being, you know? It's fucking annoying. Hate that shit. Stone Cold Steve Austin, shame on him.
Yeah.
And he's a wife beater. Anyway,
you know, you gotta bring it up when you can, I guess.
Yeah, I'll bring it up any chance I get. But anyway, it seems like a few people are frustrated with their position in the company, namely Tyler Breeze and Scott Dawson of The Revival. So, yeah, apparently they've been on Twitter basically saying that, yeah, they need their opportunities, they need their shots, blah, blah, blah. Which makes sense, because, like, you look at some of the rosters on SmackDown and Raw, and you wonder where half of these motherfuckers are.
They have so many people they could do a show every day. I mean, statistically, if I was WWE, I think the smartest thing... I mean, I get Raw and SmackDown, but I would find a way to film somewhere else and do, like... And I would include 205 in this, and maybe do more Full Sail things. But, yeah, you can air, like, an hour, hour and a half show, like, at... And let's do it earlier in the fucking afternoon, too, instead of the nighttime.
Right.
Just, you know, if you're going to have this much wrestling, put it on at a decent time and spread it out and put it in front of a better audience. Do it for 205 Live. Do it for the women's wrestling. Do it for, like, just do a better job with main events, you know. WWE has the resources, but their structure is...
Yeah, they do a terrible fucking job with main event.
Yeah, because people forget main event's a real thing.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that it's a real thing.
Alright, I have myself a mini quiz. I got three things here.
Nice. Okay, what else? And time to talk about releases. WWE ended up releasing one of the Ely brothers. Yeah, one of them.
I saw that and I was like, what did he do?
I don't know, man. Like, They said one of them was complaining about migraines or some shit, but that might be unrelated because it was the opposite one. It was Gabriel and not Uriel. Because Gabriel is still there. Uriel is not, apparently. So, I don't know. It's so weird, man. They fucking released, like, the twins. Like, you might as well have released both of them, man. Like, what the fuck is the other one going to do? I don't
know.
Like, if one, like, how is one over the other one? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. I don't. But yeah, whatever. And then the other one who got released, fucking Zeta, the Chinese American mixed martial artist.
Was she the one I liked, or was she the other one?
She was the one that didn't have all that the fan and all that shit like that. She had the yellow. Right. She had the yellow and black costume that looked kind of like a Mortal Kombat character.
All right, because there was one that I liked. It might have been the Xia Li.
Yeah, that's a straight up Chinese one. I'm talking about the Chinese American one.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she was released from her contract. And then, of course, when people mentioned what she was going to do, whether she's going to quit or not, she said that she would actually continue on with wrestling. So most likely we will see her popping up in different places in the independent circuit. So.
I think part of the problem with their training policy is the lack of actual in-ring, in-frontable work.
Right.
Because there's a lot of, like, WWE wants their people at a certain level before they get in front, but that's the difference between them and the indie scene. I mean, yeah, the indie scene, it takes a long time for a guy, usually takes a long time, unless you're one of those guys who breaks out really quickly, but there are guys on the indie scene who spend, like, 5 years before they're, you know, known. I mean, I don't know how long Walter's been around, but I think he's been around a pretty long time.
Yeah.
And it's been the last few years where he's been one of...
Keith Lee, too. Another big dude. Big dude, and Keith Lee. Timothy, he's been around for a long time, apparently, too.
So was Timothy Thatcher, because I remember listening to an audio, one of the Colt Cabana interviews with Christina Von Erie, and I had known who she was, but she talked about when she was starting, how she had worked with Timothy Thatcher, and he was like the tape trader guy. He would have tapes, and they would study them. And I'm like, I didn't know Timothy Thatcher had been wrestling that long.
Wow. Huh.
But, you know, and Roderick Strong actually started out at the same time as Molly Holly. I mean, he was younger than she was. I think he started out when he was in his teens, and she was, like, in her late teens, early 20s. But, you know.
Yeah, see, like, I knew Roderick Strong had been around for a long time, but, like, I didn't know he was around that long.
Yeah, she said that she trained with him and that he was of way better than most people in the training school she was at.
Yeah, because I remember when he was, I remember how young he was when he was appearing on ROH and even TNA, like, and when TNA finally got their TV deal with Spike or TNN and Spike or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I guess Joey Janela started at 15.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's the difference. The indie scene understands that there's trial and error. There's a lot of places to, you know, get better at.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, they're not, and the indie scene always needs people. They always need bodies. They may not pay you.
See,
but there's always a job.
Like, developmental / NXT has like two tiers. I mean, like three tiers, I'm guessing. One, the bottom tier, developmental, you're just training. Second tier, you're wrestling in front of crowds, but they're only in like Florida. Maybe in Georgia. And so, like, and then you make like a few appearances on NXT every now and then. And then, of course, the third tier is like NXT mainstay people. and shit like that. So there's the L three tiers. Before Leo Rush jumped to 205 Live, he was on that second
tier. Which I'm still surprised he got there real quick, but whatever.
He was on that second tier. Only appeared on NXT TV, like, a few times, and was basically relegated to doing live events in Florida, like, for a good while before he ended up going. So, yeah. Yeah. Releases. What other interesting stuff? Hey, is speaking of, like, NXT guys, is Ricochet still with Tessa Blanchard?
I heard that he wasn't, but who knows?
Yeah, because they don't talk about each other on social media anymore. At all.
No.
Yeah, so they're probably not together anymore. Yeah.
Oh, well. No, she's got Impact. I guess she's doing that. Yeah. I mean, they're positioning her.
Yeah, making.
Well, they actually have a pretty decent looking women's division, but it's Impact, so I'm not gonna watch it.
Oh man, it's like you got to be happy for certain people, like Eddie Kingston.
I actually saw one of his promos with LAX where they had working like a real like Don guy.
Yeah,
and he came
and
off more
like ladies.
Well, he didn't have the ladies, but he came in with the cigar. He was talking about how he was dealing with the New York, the New York scene. They got this guy dealing with this scene, and he's got everything working out, and they need to do their bit to get back on top.
Yeah.
Like a real kingpin type guy.
Oh, I saw another one where like he's talking to the crew, and he brings in a couple ladies to sit on their laps and shit.
See, I think Kingston's best option right now is to quit wrestling and become a fucking actor. Just do it.
Yeah, he could do that. Yeah.
Hollywood needs stereotypical Puerto Ricans. And yeah, I don't mean that as an insult. I mean, that's what Hollywood probably would do with him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's what he's good at.
Yeah.
And him being a pro wrestler and who's had death matches, he would come off as a real legit guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Besides that, Taya Valkyrie and John Morrison, they tied the knot this past weekend. I believe it was Friday. Yeah, and of course it was a star-studded where a whole bunch of their friends, their wrestling friends, popped up and shit. So congratulations to them.
Yep.
And then also Oliver Luck, former NFL QB, father of washed NBA, I mean not NBA, NFL QB Andrew Luck, and NCAA official, has stepped away from the NCAA to become the commissioner and CEO of Vinnie Mac's XFL 2.0.
Two point fail.
And speaking of the XFL, they have just, like, they're about to mail out a whole bunch of, like, packages to different cities and shit around the country, because now they have to actually get people to want to, like, have a team. You know? So, as of right now, we don't know how many teams there will be in this league, and it's supposed to be slated for 2020. So, I guess we'll see. Yeah.
I'm not going to see. I'm just going to do what I do.
Yeah,
I'm
just going to skip that shit. I stopped watching NFL altogether. I stopped watching NFL last year. I can't watch it anymore. I can't watch football in general anymore, really. I'm just tired of it. I don't know. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Like, I don't even watch
it. So, props to the Philadelphia Eagles who were like, fuck this.
Yeah, I think there was only a handful of them who would have went. So, Trump saved face by just canceling altogether. That's basically him saying, because he could have still hosted it and a few guys show up, but then the optics would be bad for him. But then the optics ended up being bad for him either way, because that whole bullshit ceremony he put out and he,
him singing God Bless America without knowing the lyrics.
Yeah, that one white dude who took a knee during
the... Oh, and the one white dude.
Yeah, so, like, the camera, like, somebody was filming and took over, and you saw some one white dude who was on in a suit and on his knee. Apparently, a few people asked him to do interviews. He just tried to turn it down.
Oh, yeah.
But clearly, you know what he was there for.
Yeah.
Probably a Philly guy. I'm like, fuck this.
Speaking of people there for certain something, apparently there was, like, a handful of people who seem like crisis actors, basically, who played the roles of Eagles fans who are distraught that the Eagles would dare turn down the presidential invite to the White House. And then one reporter actually asked them who the quarterback was at the Super Bowl, and they couldn't answer it. They couldn't answer who the quarterback was that won them the Super Bowl. I can't answer that. I can't answer that at all, to be honest, because I didn't watch that shit. All I know is that they had a quarterback, Carson Wentz, that was their star quarterback, that went down. Then it was their backup who ended up going to the Super Bowl and won it for them.
How does that feel if you're the star quarterback? Are you proud of your team, or you're like, damn it?
Like, I mean, he still gets a ring, but...
Well, that's true. He does get a ring.
He still gets a ring.
I guess if you get a ring and you get paid, it don't matter. That's how I would be.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you didn't get to play in the big game. How do you... I got a ring. I'm coming back next season. I got money. Shit. It's even better. This is less likely to have CTE problems.
Oh, man. Okay, and besides that, apparently GameSpot announced that the New Day will be part of next week's E3 coverage. So, good on them for that. Getting that nice video game stuff. Of course, Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, is the host or brainchild of Up, Up, Down, Down. So all this video game shit makes sense to him, and whatever.
I heard a rumor that GameStop will also be experimenting with selling comics now. So
GameStop, really?
Yeah, they need people to come in, and apparently their idea to get more people to come to their stores is to offer comics.
Yeah, because like, okay, so right now GameStops, you can like buy games, buy video game paraphernalia, nerdy t-shirts and hoodies and all that shit like that, mugs, they got a whole bunch of Funko Pops now, and then I think you can trade in your cell phone too, so they've been doing a whole bunch of shit at GameStop for a while.
Yeah, but selling comics is a ridiculous thing. I mean, who's going to be ordering these comics from? Because there's over 300 single issues. And casual fans tend to go toward buying graphic novels.
Right. And where the fuck are you going to put that shit? The store's already crowded as it is.
Yeah. I mean, if you start selling comics, it means you're going to start having a backstock of comics.
Right.
I definitely feel like there needs to be more to selling comic books, but GameStop's an interesting choice. I can see why they would believe there's a crossover, but at the same time, it's like, if I was them, I would only be selling graphic novels.
Yeah.
And you know they're probably only going to be selling superhero comics, too. And a lot of casual fans, they don't fuck with the superhero comics,
other than
the case of miniseries.
Yeah.
They're not selling, like, Image stuff or, you know, or even manga. It's going to be harder for them.
Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Horse, Vertigo, Boom.
Yeah, I don't think Vertigo really matters anymore. Well, I guess if they were doing trades, they put the old school Vertigo stuff on there.
What about Boom Studios? Because like their Power Rangers stuff is kind of popular.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the licensed stuff. Boom and ID a lot of licensed stuff. So does Dynamite.
Yeah.
It's
WWE stuff.
Boom Boom does WWE stuff, yeah. Speaking of which, I still have that Bailey one I still haven't read yet. Which I need to get
Boom Goes the Dynamite.
And Boom Goes the Dynamite. What other instance? Glenn Jacobs actually got interviewed, and he said he would not rule out wrestling as the mayor of Knox County if he got elected.
I believe he should change the rules that the only way to beat him for the mayorship is through a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah, that shit would be dope. That shit would be dope. And then the last like bit of news / speculation, according to Mike Johnson of PW Insider, there is more speculation on why WWE ended up releasing Enzo Amore. According to him, Enzo was not released just for the allegations. It was described to me by several people who worked for the company and work for the company that it was more of a last straw situation. There had been times he had rubbed the members of the locker room the wrong way. There were times I kind of said things they didn't want him to say. There were ways that he carried himself, and with this, it was like, okay, enough is enough. Yeah, I'm not surprised about
hashtag
that.
Hashtag free Neville.
Yo, I saw that fucking, this sign. Somebody had the sign on 205 Live.
Yep.
It said,
where's Neville?
Where's Neville? I was like, god damn it. Oh, and speaking of Neville, I forgot that was that other thing. Like, Austin Aries actually mentioned Neville, saying that he would love to face him if he's ever free from his chains and whatnot. Damn. I feel bad for Neville, man. I feel so bad for
Neville. Yeah. I dream. I mean, how long would WWE really keep him in contract like that? Because eventually someone will say some shit on a mainstream television or something, right? And people will be like, wait, they got a guy that they hasn't worked for them for years and they don't want him to quit? What? I don't know.
Oh, man. Yo, I'm sorry, I'm reading this thing on Twitter. Apparently this dude saw Infinity Wars 42 times.
Has it been out that many days?
what you mean out that many days? You can see that. You can literally see that shit at least three times in one day.
I was assuming he was going to see it every day. I mean, three times a day. You know, you got to work in. You know, you're a shit. Got to make sure you get some food in there or whatever. Can't be bringing a good meal into the movie theater. I mean, you can, but it's a little harder.
Oh shit. Oh, I was okay, going back to the freaking ACH Ethan Page shit with the Troll Boys.
So you're looking at it now?
Yeah, I'm looking at some other stuff right now, like how ACH is trying to get in contact with Leo Rush. I think he posted something to say, "Yo, Leo, what is up, my man? It's ACH. We used to work together at ROH.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Not this guy. Want to do a track with me? Who the hell is this? Oh, dude, it was a picture of fucking Tadarius Thomas, yo. Yeah. Remember Tadarius Thomas?
Vaguely.
Oh man, this dude was like infamous. Cause it was Tadarius Thomas and ACH used to be a tag team in ROH.
Brought ACH.
Yeah, when
kind of like when they brought Cedric Alexander and they teamed him with a black guy.
Yeah, when they had him, they teamed him with Caprice Coleman, and they were a CNC Wrestle Factory. So there was CNC Wrestle Factory, and then. ACH and Tadarius Thomas's team was, I think you would call it Adrenaline Rush or some shit. Yeah, Adrenaline Rush. But Tadarius Thomas was just known as this, like, he was athletic, but his style was like capoeira. I still don't know how to pronounce this shit. You know, the Brazilian dance fighting type shit. That was his style. And he had, like, no charisma whatsoever.
Capoeira,
yeah. So, like...
Hashtag like, only the strong with Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, so it's weird that, like... Oh, Mark Dacascos, what is he in? I know he's in... He got cast in something recently. Damn.
But I know you're right.
Yeah, he just got cast in something recently. But, yeah, but Tadarius Thomas, for such a energetic, like, charismatic, like, fighting style, he had no charisma whatsoever. No personality.
That's sometimes that happens. Yeah. All right, let's see. Filmography, man, I keep forgetting you've been around for a while. Oh, yeah, John Wick, Chapter 3.
Yeah, that's right. Because it was him, Halle Berry. Now. Yeah, because it was him, Halle Berry. Who else got cast in that shit?
It says Ruby Rose is in the movie. I thought she died.
Oh, no, okay, she got stabbed in the movie, you didn't see an on-screen death.
Alright, so her and Common went out the same way, and they back for revenge, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Angelica Houston, that's
what that's
name.
Right, Angelica Houston.
But the main man right here, Jason Mantzoukas.
Jesus Christ. He's gonna
he
be
didn't
so
even
annoying.
Plug made it in the movie in the recent one. Oh, and Hiroyuki Sanada, who was recently on Westworld, he was the Musashi.
Yeah. I remember him in, was it the Wolverine? Yeah.
And apparently he's in the next Avengers movie, too. It just says Untitled Avengers Film TBA next year. So, yeah. Good on him. He's making that American money. Which, probably not as much as he makes in... Well, who knows? And he's did some Sci-Fi Channel shows, too. The same year. Was that Extent on Sci-Fi? Or no, was that, no, that was TBS, I think. Alright. Yeah, so, alright, well, good on him. Mark Dacascos.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny, people keep making fun of, Bobby Lashley's tattooed eyebrows.
I don't even look at Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear he has eyebrows, but honestly, I don't think I've actually really seen the guy. I've been seeing clips of him, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't feel like paying attention to this. I mean, the last pay-per-view, I kind of quit watching when his tag match happened.
Yeah, his current feud is him and Sami Zayn. And, of course, they had that infamous thing. It's just been falling flat. I don't know. Like, the match could be lit... But, I don't know.
Alright.
Ah, damn it. Hello? But, yeah. Alright. Alright, so I don't think we have anything else to go with for this.
Alright, sorry about that. I'm getting food, so they were calling me to find out what I wanted.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't think we have anything else to go on, really.
Nope.
The only thing I can talk about is during the weekend, I will see two different movies. Yes, two. Because you know why? Because I got fucking movie pass now. So they can eat a dick. I'm definitely going to see Hereditary, because I heard that shit's fucking crazy. And the thing is that I saw a trailer for that, like, a month ago. I forgot what movie I saw it in, but I saw the trailer for it in theaters. Like, I was like, damn, that shit looks good. So, definitely some horror shit. And I think I posted something on Twitter basically saying, like, yeah, this... It does feel like... We're in, like, sort of a horror renaissance right now.
Yeah, but I don't like the... Everything I've seen for that movie kept telling me how much that movie is going to be good. And I just... I hate those kind of trailers.
Really?
I hate those trailers for movies. I hate those trailers for TV shows. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably see it, but I'm not all that curious about being a season.
I've heard really good things about it. Like, just take the... I guess you should just take the trailer with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but I also need to save money for my trip next month, so if I'm going to go see any movies, it's got to be the stuff I really care about. And what I really care about is just seeing Avengers, Ant-Man, Incredibles, and Tag.
That's why I got MoviePass. Only $10...
We don't do movie passes out here, really.
Oh, really? Well, I got
MoviePass. Yeah, I think most of the... I mean, my understanding is... there are some places that don't accept MoviePass. Yeah. I don't think places near me accept MoviePass. So.
Okay. So, basically, I think pretty much everywhere around me accepts MoviePass. So, yeah, I'm taking full advantage of that shit. So, I'm definitely seeing Hereditary, and I'm definitely seeing Hotel Artemis with going back to WWE wrestling-related shit is starring Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Boom.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it works out here for me. Because, you know, I don't know anybody who uses MoviePass out in Cali. Yeah.
But you can easily find out. Like, if you download the app or just go on their website or whatever, they'll show you what locations around you.
Yeah, but I'm not going. But the theaters that are close to me are all AMC theaters, and they're the ones that them and MoviePass are the ones who kind of don't like each other.
AMC takes MoviePass, man.
Not all them AMCs.
Oh, well, mine does.
And it looks like AMC might be getting out of the MoviePass business altogether.
Really?
Yeah. Because there a few months ago, they were talking about some shit went down, and AMC's like doesn't like MoviePass. A lot of theaters don't.
Yeah.
A lot of them are thinking about just not taking it anymore.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, those movies I don't have that much hype for. I'll probably just see them when they come out. I mean, I'm gonna see Hereditary, but I don't know. It's not my something about it just seemed like my kind of horror film. I'm sure it's good, but I'm also in that moment right now where you gotta remember I'm coming up in a few months. I'm gonna end up watching 31 horror movies, so not watching too many horror films before that.
Yep.
That's the thing. But I did recently watch Tragedy Girls with Alexandra Shipp and Brianna Hildebrandt from from all the X-Men movies. That one was pretty good. And I saw a couple other horror films.
Yeah.
The Funhouse was not good. By Toby Hooper or whatever. But yeah, the next thing I might see Jurassic World. I don't know.
When is that... I still haven't seen the trailer for that remake. Suspiria or some shit like that? You heard that?
Yeah, I didn't watch it either because I have the original Suspiria, and it's one of my favorite films, so I'm not sure I care enough for the remake. I heard really good early reviews, but I sort of like, why did they remake it in the first place?
Gotta targeted a modern audience that loves that nostalgia but doesn't want to actually watch the old shit, you know?
But rarely horror remakes or franchise reboots do well, or do well enough for them to continue, because like Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, they kind of came and they went, and even though the movies did alright, they didn't like set the fans ablaze enough for them to do it again. They keep trying to make Texas Chainsaw Massacre happen. And now we got a Halloween trailer dropping on Friday.
Yeah, whatchamacallit?
Speaking of horror films, there's a website called TerrorThreads.com. They specialize in horror film style, clothing, and I just got my new hoodie from them, which is pretty cool. It has a TV with a zombie hand coming out of it. So, they have some pretty neat stuff. They also have some official Texas Chainsaw Massacre and official Halloween t-shirts. All original designs. And then I also got some other stuff in the mail. I've decided that Overkill will be my thrash metal band of choice now. Just, if anyone cares about thrash metal. I just randomly heard one of their albums on YouTube a few weeks ago, and now I have three albums worth. I really like it. And I'm bought a book to put on my pile, my growing pile of to read books called Horror Store, which is about a pair some guys who work at an IKEA type store who stay overnight because weird shit is happening. And the way this book is designed, it looks more like an instruction manual.
Nice.
Including little bits and pieces about the furniture, a map of the store. The text, the font and text color they use is definitely like a manual type thing. So I actually bought, I need to start reading through all these books. I'm reading one now. And that is pretty much it. I have Yu Yu Hakusho going on right now on my DVD player. It's the 20th anniversary this year, and in October, Japan will be dropping Blu-ray, including two new episodes of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Two new episodes? Oh, shit.
Yep, with original Japanese voice cast. I don't know what's going to happen with the American release. Hopefully we will get it. I'm sure we'll be able to watch them online in subtitles. Yeah. Two new Yu Yu Hakusho episodes in October. One is apparently about Hihei and Kurama, so, yeah. I don't know what the other one is. I haven't watched the new FLCL, but I have it on tape.
Oh, hold up, did that start airing?
Yep, started Saturday.
What the fuck? What the fuck have I been doing? I like, it was supposed to air soon, but, like, I didn't know it was that soon.
Yeah, I thought it was the end of June, beginning of July, but I was randomly checking something, and I'm like, holy shit, FLCL. So I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet, though. But I'll get to it. I might wait till I get a few more episodes before I watch them. I still need to finish Supergirl and finish Legion. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I was looking up the movie pass stuff. Like, apparently that, like, there was a blackout of, like, that shit. But that ended, like, 2 months ago.
Hmm.
So with movie pass and AMC.
Yeah. Oh, that's good for them. Still, it's interesting because I only heard about MoviePass last year. I've never met anyone who actually had a MoviePass thing until, you know.
That's all people that I've been hearing. Like when I talk with people in Baltimore, like when I talk about movies, they talk their MoviePass.
No. Maybe it's an LA. Maybe it's LA people don't really know it. I'm sure they, because you don't really. They definitely don't advertise at AMC, because AMC, even though they do let it work, they don't like it.
They don't advertise it at all. They won't. Ever.
Yeah.
They'll never do that. Ever.
Yeah, I have the AMC Stubbs card thing, though. And my mom pays for it, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah. I got, like, the standard Stubbs card, not, like, the, not the big one or whatever.
The Premier?
The Premier, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I don't
they upgraded us to the Premier for free that first year when we found out.
Oh, okay, shit. Yeah, cause I just got the standard. I just had the standard Stubbs rewards since God knows when.
I mean, I'd probably be the only one in this house who would ever use MoviePass because I see it. I go see movies the most, but. Like I said, right now, my main hype movies are Tag, Incredibles 2, and Ant-Man, which I'm going to have to see that one the Thursday night to come out. I'm going to be leaving for my family trip the next Saturday, the Saturday right after.
Tag is so funny, because did you hear Jeremy Renner actually broke his arms?
Yeah, like, I tell everybody that.
3 days. So he had to digitally. What the fuck? That's just hilarious, man.
Tag's a serious fucking game.
Yeah, man.
Alright, man. I got some stuff I gotta get done. I will see you next Wednesday.
Oh.
And see you online.
Alright, I guess we're not doing any plugs, are we?
Oh, right, yeah, I guess I should, because I've actually been updating my blog with reviews.
Yeah.
So, mygeekdom.wordpress.com. I've been reviewing stuff. I got a quick review of Solo, Red Sparrow, of the Junji Ito manga, Gyo on there, and some other shit. And you can catch me on Twitter. I forget, what is it? CM Towns? And Instagram is WestsideGoth.
Westside.goth.
Westside.goth, that's right. And yeah, that's all I got.
And of course, check out Rant EM Radio and... their shows, including us, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, D time.
Yeah, that D time. You can check out the flagship show, The Rant. What are you reading? Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Freaking of a Geek, yada yada yada. All this shit for me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube is my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And to end this on a high note, hey, 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 smoke weed every day.